You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Kick in the pants yesterday with the 2 days in a row the Yankees losing to the Mets the way they did. Holy cow. Yankees gave up 21 runs in two games to the Mets. 21! They scored 9. Give me 9 runs over two games, I'll take my chances. 7 and then 2, but give me 9 runs over two games, I'll take my chances. 21! What are they doing? I mean, I am officially kind of worried right now. Although every team does go through rough patches. Thank God they started the way they did. First team to 50 wins. Because there's that. They'd be, they started off just to kind of an average, you know, a little over 500. They'd be kind of a little bit buried right now. Fighting their way back up at least. Yesterday, another loss. Now one game up on the Orioles, who finally won themselves. They've been losing. And then today, in Toronto. And I'm going to be there with Max. And I am like, they better turn it around quick. I don't want to go there tonight and watch this again. Watch them lose like this again. Come on, what are we doing? I mean, the good news is, like, you know, Toronto, they're sitting there and...
Hey.
What are they, seven...
Easy there.
Wait, there's 7 games under 500, so maybe the Yankees have a chance here. I don't know.
I thought you were about to go a little.
Are you a big Blue Jays fan?
Yeah, they have not been doing well this season. And then Vladimir Guerrero Jr. the other day is like, yeah, I'd be okay if I go to the Yankees. And I'm like, oh, cool. That'd be just what we need right
now.
Wait,
he said that? I didn't even see this.
I don't know if that was the direct quote, but like, I saw like an ESPN headline or something, and it was just like, oh, yeah, Vlad talks on playing for the Yankees someday. And I was like, oh, cool. The best player on the team just doesn't want to be there.
Nah, that's clickbaity. Come on. I got to go see this article. That's clickbaity right there. I don't think he said. We'll say maybe. Who knows? Maybe he's like, yeah, I want out of here. Should be interesting tonight. What do we got tonight? I think I was just looking at it. It is. I got it right here. Tonight is Jose Berrios against Rodon, who got rocked, I think, the last time out.
2 days ago, so that's Vladimir tonight. Guerrero Jr. opened a possibility of trade to the Yankees. Quote, it's a business.
Wow, you're right. I'm sorry. I doubted you for thinking that meant something. All right, let's go, baby. We're all in. Here we go.
Upset I would be if that, like, I, oh, man. I saw his last game as a Buffalo Bison, so I'd be really upset if he, you know, just jumps ship.
You texted me very early this morning, by the way, and said...
Sorry, I lose track of
time. We should have Howard back on. No, it's okay. It's all good. I had to get up. So you said we should have Howard on to talk about the series sweep. No, Josh, that is not happening. I'm not bringing Howard back on to rub my nose in the Mets beating the Yankees 21-9 over a two-game spread, two-game series.
Why not? Come on.
Not happening.
You got to let him have his fun a little bit. I mean, what are the Mets going to do the rest of the year? Realistically,
he can have his fun on social media. He's been crowing about it.
I wonder where you're going to take him to lunch.
I have no idea. We haven't decided that yet. People are like, dude, you owe more than lunch after that beatdown. I got my buddy Al text me. You might owe Howard 2 lunches. I might after that one. I will say, though, okay, it is like, come on, it is the Yankees and Mets, and wouldn't it be kind of apropos if in 1 month from now, the Yankees return the favor? Because they can. They play again in July at Yankee Stadium, July 23rd and July 24th. The night before, ooh, that's it. See, it's the night before training camp begins and the first day of training camp. So I'll be in Rochester and I'll be like, Howard, come to Rochester. Let's go watch the Yankees and Mets together. And he'll chicken out like he did the last time, which is when I asked him, like, 2-3 years ago, I'm like, oh my God, Howard, Yankees and Mets. I offered Howard to just go and hang out and watch the Yankees and Mets together. I said, I'll buy you dinner. We'll just sit around and have some drinks. He's like, I am not doing that with you. He was so afraid that I was going to be like, rubbing his face in it if they won. I'm like, no, I just want to hang out with you, dude. That's all.
I mean, maybe but you now, guys not being
but
together.
Now, but now I get it. Now I get it. What's that?
I wonder if maybe him not being with you was his good luck charm, and that's why the Mets won so big.
Yeah, maybe. That was a few years ago. This time, that's correct. Maybe. Maybe he's going to training camp. I doubt it. Who knows? We'll see. But training camp does begin July 24th for the Bills. So report date is Tuesday to July 23rd. And that's going to be Yankees-Mets part two for this year. We have an NHL draft coming up tomorrow night. And there's been a lot of buzz about different things going on with the Sabres possibilities. We talked about Jeff Skinner a lot yesterday. And now we're going to be talking more about maybe Martin Nietzsche, who could be available for trade, apparently, from Carolina. And should the Sabres be interested in that? What would it cost? How would it affect the team? We'll talk all about that and a lot more today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for being with me. Sal Capaccio with you. And Matt Bove is going to join me at the bottom of the hour. Matt, of course, my co-host on the Odyssey podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo. We sprinkle in some Sabres talk once in a while on there, very briefly, but it's a Bills podcast. And we talk about the Bills and their offseason and their season, and we do it throughout the year. But Matt, always a pleasure to talk to him as well about the Sabres, and he'll have a lot of thoughts on this weekend in the draft and what the Sabres can do, what they should do. We'll talk with him at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, and I haven't connected with my buddy Brent Axe in a while. Brent is a writer over at Syracuse.com. He's on the radio in Syracuse. And we're going to talk just the college sports landscape, but also he's a big hockey fan and Bills fan. We'll get his thoughts on a lot of things. I reached out because one of the things that's been happening, that's happened over this week, is there's this whole debate about number 44 at Syracuse, and if they should, Eddie Lampkin apparently is going to wear it, who is a transfer now. Everybody's a transfer now, and he's coming from Colorado. He's a good player. And then Derek Coleman, who's like maybe the one of the best 44s ever. It's a number at Syracuse that's legendary. He even posted on social that he's kind of upset because they've watered it down. I don't know. I think it's a good debate. I have some thoughts on it, but we'll just spend a little time on that. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup Finals, the Bills, Brent Axe, and the changing landscape of the college sports as well. In the meantime, anytime we talk about the draft, coverage of the NHL draft on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Market. So I just put up a question on social media, on Twitter. You can follow me over there on X/Twitter. I just saw today, it is still, like, I know it's officially Twitter anyway, but apparently there was some court case, Supreme Court, where they even said, like, yeah, you're not calling it X, you're calling it Twitter. I don't know. So I still call it Twitter. So I'm legally within my bounds to still call it Twitter. And on Twitter, at Sal Sports, I put up a question today I'd like you to answer. With the NHL draft starting tomorrow night, what's your favorite reasonable Sabres idea this weekend? Your favorite reasonable idea. I already have somebody says, Coupe DeVille, trade Skinner and trade for physical NHL players, not future. Well, that's not reasonable. They're not trading Jeff Skinner, apparently. Like, that's not... I of course, it could have happened, but nobody wants to take on his contract. He's a new move clause, so... That's why they're going to buy out Jeff Skinner, apparently. So that is, to me, not a reasonable idea. Let's see. Trade number 11. This is from Steve. Trade number 11, pick number 11, as part of a package for a top six forward. That is my minimum expectation. I like it, Steve. See, that's where I am with this. Trade pick number 11 for a top six. Yes. Does Martin Nietzsche fit in the top six? So I'd like to get your thoughts on this today. Give me a call. We have open phone lines right now, and we will for a while until the bottom of the hour when Matt Bove joins me. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. I still give the toll-free number out once in a while, even though you don't really need it. But if you want to do it that way, maybe it's just kind of a reflex for those who've called many times. Want to give me a call and tell me, what do you think? What is your reasonable, most reasonable, best idea for the Sabres this weekend? It could be anything from, and I'm assuming a lot of people are just going to say trade something for someone or trade someone away or whatever. Maybe your most reasonable, best idea is to just buy out Jeff Skinner and use that money on, you know, a free agent later. But that's your reasonable idea is just, hey, that's just buy him out. You have the money, and then maybe you can explore whatever options are out there. Andrew tweets in, trading for either John Marino or Eric Sarnak would be a good start heading into July 1st. Okay. Joseph, sign Patrick Kane. They can't do that yet. I don't think July 1st is when that starts, but I get it. What is your best but reasonable idea for the Sabres this weekend? 803-0550 is the number to call. This Martin Nietzsche's report. So where are we at with this? Well, I've seen a few different things. This isn't going well for him in Carolina and the two sides. He wants out, or he wants a new... I think he's an RFA, right? Is that right? I think he's an RFA, right, Josh?
Yes, that's why they'd be trading for him, essentially.
Right. Let me just go to their page here, Carolina, because I think Carolina also, they kind of have... I don't know if they necessarily like up against the cap or if they're basically just... it's just the player. It doesn't look like they're in too bad a shape here.
Well, they also have to sign Tuivo Teravainen,
yeah,
too. He's one of their other top players.
Right.
So if they're trying to decide between the two of them, obviously I think they'd pick Teravainen. Yeah. They're also up against it with guys like Brett Pesce as well. So it's like they have all these names, and I think Natchez is just one of the ones that's like on the outside looking in their, you know, situation. But in other for other teams, mm-hmm. he would be a welcome piece. I think the Sabres could utilize him, but... yeah, I think that's just the situation. I don't think Carolina is necessarily in a bad cap spot. It's just they need to sign a bunch of people.
Yeah. They have 1 year deals on a lot of guys. Like 1 year left for a lot of guys. If you take a look at their page. By the way, you can go to Cap Friendly for like what, another week. That's it. Not even.
a few more days. I think
it's gonna be done.
I think Saturday night it gets, you know, taken down. I don't know when the Capitals are actually taking it down, but I think it's right after the draft. So it's not a good time.
Aho and Svechnikov, they're locked up for quite a while with them. But the bottom line is, are we going Nietzsche or Natchez? Is that, you said Natchez. Am I saying Nietzsche wrong? Am I saying it wrong in Nietzsche?
I've always said Natchez. I'm not sure. I think it's Natchez.
Both, right? Are both it is Natchez, actually. I'm looking now. So I'll call Martin Natchez. Okay. If you look at his numbers... And what he does, plays center, 6'2", 189. Nice big body. And that's a good power forward who's put up some points. In fact, over the last 2 years, 24 goals, 28 goals, respectively, last 2 years, 43 assists a couple of years ago, 71 points in 82 games. Very nice. Last year, a dip in the helper department, 53 points overall, 24 and 29. It does feel like, though, this is the kind of player that would fit for Lindy Ruff and what they'd want to go after. See, the thing about trades are, there's two things with this. Number one, you can't just go trade for everybody because not everybody's available and, you know, teams aren't going to give up really good players. So if you want to improve your team via trade, obviously, it's got to be something worthwhile for a team, or if there's somebody on a team who is in a situation like Natchez, who might want out, has an RFA contract, whatever, it becomes a little easier, but those guys are hard to find. But the biggest thing, and I have this issue with, if I was the grand poobah of sports, which I think I am sometimes, but if I was the grand poobah of sports, I think I would either eliminate altogether or make it much more difficult to have no movement clauses in hockey. I think they've ruined trading. No movement clauses in hockey are really, It makes it so hard to trade for a player, especially when you're the Buffalo Sabres. And look, this is not the player's fault or the new movement fault clause or the no movement clause fault that the Sabres have been bad, but they have been. And it makes it, you know, who wants to go there to that kind of a team that hasn't won in 13 years, hasn't made the playoffs? I get it. That's on the Sabres. There's certainly a fault for them. But I mean, it just makes it so much more difficult for everybody and less fun for the fans. You don't really get that in football. You can trade a player. I guess, I don't think I've ever heard of a no-trade clause in football. Maybe. Has that happened? Have you heard of one?
Is that even a thing? Like,
I don't think so. I don't think you can do that.
Like, because there's so many stipulations in NFL contracts. Like, I feel like we would have had one by now, right? Like, with all the bonuses and the guaranteed money and all that stuff, like, I don't think.
Actually, there were. Yes, there are. There are.
Oh,
okay,
really?
Derek Carr had one. Derek Carr had one. And Russell Wilson had one. Okay, they are. They do happen. Okay, I guess I forgot about it. That's right, now that I think about it. There are some no trade. But I think they only kick in certain situations. It's just different, right? Like in the NHL, it seems like almost everybody who's been in the league a good 4 or 5 years has a no movement clause. I don't exactly know the rules. Someone can tell me on that. But every time you look, let's go to the Sabres. How about this? Let's go to the Sabres cap friendly page. You can look at the no movement clauses. Jeff Skinner, no move clause. Tage Thompson, modified no trade clause. Alex Tuch, modified no trade clause. Jordan Greenway, modified no trade clause. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's not everybody on the team. But you go through every NHL team, and you're going to find several of these. So to circle back, the reason I'm bringing this up is, a guy like Natchez, he doesn't have one, and they can trade his rights just like the Sabres did with Casey Mittelstadt, who was a pending RFA. Now, that happened during the season, of course. And then you can negotiate, but you have his rights. And he's not going to be able to say yes or no to that, essentially. 25 years old. RFA.
I mean, theoretically,
he
is
eligible for arbitration. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you hold his rights. I mean, then you go to arbitration, right? I mean, like, you could do things like that.
True. But then you can get an offer sheet, which, I mean, barely ever happens in the NHL.
Right. But I'm just talking about specifically the action of being traded. He has no say over it. I mean, they can just trade him to any team. And then, to me, that's the way it should be in sports. I would be fine with, okay, if you put in a certain number of years, been in the league a long time, like, then, you know, you have roots somewhere, whatever. Like, you have a little more control over that. I just think that no movement clauses, no trade clauses in hockey are just, they're out of hand. And yes, I'm saying that from a Buffalo and Sabres perspective, because it's hard to get players here. If they were good, it would be less hard, and maybe I'd say, no, I love it, because nobody else, you want to go to Ottawa, you don't want to go here, don't want to go out to San Jose, come to Buffalo, because they're good, it would make it easier, and I'd probably be singing a different tune, I guess. I just don't, like, I know that growing up, that was never anything that anyone talked about, it was never a deal. Now, obviously, salary cap, free agency, everything's changed. So yeah, I just don't like it. I think it really hurts your fit. Now the NHL does a lot of things that hurts their fans anyway. They just don't care about their fans when it comes to certain rules or how the league operates. That's not something they generally consider, it seems like. Makes it tougher on, you know, GMs for sure. So when I tweet out, what is your favorite reasonable Sabres idea? Reasonable's the key here, because I just don't know. You have to really entice someone to waive their no-move clause to come to Buffalo in their modified no-trade clause. Put the Sabres on the list or off the list or however that works for each guy. Let's get connected with our fans. Let's go to Josh in New Jersey. Can you pull Josh up for me there? Josh Schmidt, I appreciate it. Go ahead, Josh. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
What's going on? So I heard you talk about the no movement clauses, and I was literally thinking about that yesterday and today. I have the perfect idea. This is what should happen. Okay, so if a team misses the playoffs consecutively, they're going to be on everybody's no-trade list. That really, you know, it prevents a bad team from becoming good because they are unable to trade for any good player whatsoever. So my theory is if a team misses consecutively for 5 seasons, they are ineligible to be put on anybody's no-trade list. Now, to get around that, every team would be allowed one contract that they can give out for a full no-movement clause that they cannot be moved at all. And that contract, the full no-move, can be transferred between players. So if player A say, hey, you know, we want you to waive your full no-movement trade to player B because he has a family and kids, would you be willing to waive that? So I think that's the perfect way to get around it because it's crazy. It literally makes us so we can't trade for anybody.
I know. I like Josh, I love the fact that you've thought so much about this more than anything. I mean, what it's got to do something, though. I agree with you, and you're on the same page as me because this is just – I don't think it's good for the league. I understand I don't want to, you know, go against, like, something that's good for the players because, you know, players should have control and rights. I get all of that. But, man, it makes it really hard for some fan bases, for some organizations, just really tough on the league. So, I mean, you should write a dissertation on this the way you thought about it. But I agree with you. There has to be some sort of rules and mechanisms in place to help out.
Like I said, it's only 5 consecutive seasons. That's only a fraction of teams. It might be like 1 or 2
right.
teams. You know, if you're signing a no-movement clause, you don't take your chance. You're still getting a no-movement clause, but you just can't put these 2 teams on it because we have to get these teams better.
Yeah, I like it. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much. I like it. He thought a lot about it. Yeah, no-move clause. I just don't like it. There's a few things I don't like about the NHL. I said it the other day. I said something last week, and somebody pushed back at me on Twitter on this, and I'm like, what? No, you're wrong. Because I said, and I think a majority of people listening agree and have said this to me, the NHL wearing dark at home is dumb. Go back to your white jerseys at home. Because that way, when the road team comes in, the colors change and you see cool colors come into your building instead of just having blue and white every stinking game. That's what it is. I mean, I know third jerseys. Let's just take that out of the equation for a second. Let's take third jerseys out of the equation. Every single Sabres game, I don't care if they're playing the Oilers, the Bruins, the Sharks, the Red Wings, the Canadiens, the reincarnation of the Whalers. It does not matter. It's blue against white. Yes, you have some third jerseys sometimes that can enter the fray. The Sabres can wear their white, and then there's a different color, but that's something I don't like. Jeremy's been pounding for the 3-2-1 playoff format for a long time. I mean, it's the regular season points format for a long time. And that makes more sense. And other leagues do it. Why do they do it? Because it makes sense. But you got former GMs and executives go, no, you can't do that to the teams and to the people who have to have these jobs. They could lose out on a job because of a 3-2-1. No. So that's not why you should hold on to it. Then you have this playoff format that no one seems to like. from players to fans, and you're having like the best 2 teams essentially playing the first round because of the way it's set up. I don't like it. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR. Go ahead in the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. So yesterday I asked my friend to name me 2 lines worth of forwards on the Sabres, and it can't include any players that played in the AHL last year. And he was barely able to name 2 lines. And one of the players that he named was Greenway. And that made me think to myself, Granato and Adams had this obsession with signing American junior players that Granato coached. So players like Greenway and Clifton, where do they fit into the plan now?
Well, I think Jordan Greenway is the type of player that Lindy Ruff would really like. I really do. Even Clifton, I think, to that extent. But I think he's the kind of player. That's why when I look at Natchez, when I think about Alex Tuch, these are the kinds of guys that I think that Lindy Ruff will want on this team. Now, when you say obsession with it, I agree to a point, but there is something to be said for A lot of times, anybody, it doesn't matter if it's the Sabres or any other organization, Mike, what do? We saw this with the Bills with the Carolina connection, right? And now you see it with the Giants and the Bills connection, which is you bring in players you're familiar with because they understand you, you understand them, and there's a lot less unknown about them. So I understand that. It's same thing in any walk in life. If you're a business, an owner, and you know somebody and how they operate and what their work ethic is, you might be more apt to hire them, whether that's fair or not, but that's the way it goes. I think Jordan Greenway has a spot on this team on the bottom six because I think he's the kind of player that Lindy Ruff will want to utilize. Now, I don't know if that's going to work out necessarily, but that's the way I see it.
So how are we at where we are today and we still have made no moves and we need to fill out our whole bottom six? We haven't made
Well, you can't make any moves yet.
I haven't heard anything. You can make
Because you can't make any moves yet. I mean, you can, but I mean, I guess free agents, you could make trades. You're right about that. But I mean, usually this is the weekend and tomorrow night, over the weekend, that's when you start to hear these things. I shouldn't say you can't make moves yet. We know the teams have been doing that. But, you know, during the playoffs, you're not going to hear a lot about that. Things aren't going to ramp up until after it. And then obviously free agency doesn't start until July 1st. So, I mean, I would give it at least another 48 hours. And I'll tell you this, Mike, on Monday, if they haven't done anything, give me a call back and you can say the exact same thing and you can definitely talk about it, buddy.
And then one more thing. You really think Lindy Ruff's going to like a 6'6" forward that's afraid to throw his body around?
Who's that?
Greenway.
I don't know who you're talking about. You think Jordan Greenway's afraid to throw his body around? I mean, okay, I guess that's your opinion. I mean, yes, I do think Lindy Ruff will like him, yes.
Okay.
Yep, I do. You think he's afraid to throw his body around. I don't. All right, we'll take a timeout, and we'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Matt Bove joins me from WKBW TV Channel 7. He will be with me, as always, on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast as we go throughout the season, talk about the Bills, but also covering the Sabres, the draft tomorrow night. We'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.